Lord Jesus, your love is more intense than any one of us can ever understand. Please open our hearts to receive what you long to give us. Amen. Well, dear heart dwellers, you know how it is when you're getting up from a fall, you kind of distance yourself from the Lord because you feel badly about yourself. And that's not what he wants. He wants us to run to him when we get up, when we stumble or fall, to run to him, run to his arms of forgiveness and love. But when my attention has been on looking at the dirty diaper that's in my life, it tends to leave me in a position of feeling convicted and not really wanting to be around the Lord quite yet until I fully repent, which I suppose is a good thing after all. But in recovering from all of this, tonight Ezekiel kept hearing a Michael W. Smith song over and over again, You Belong to Me. The lyrics are so very romantic. I knew you were the one. My heart was overcome the day I looked into your eyes. The feeling so surreal, like time was standing still when you said you would be mine. Oh, you are a miracle. You're sweeter than I've ever dreamed. You're so much more than beautiful. How can it be that you belong to me? And then as he meditated on that song and he looked it up, he saw Jesus singing that song to me. Ezekiel's been praying really hard for me the last few days that I could get back in that sweet space with the Lord. But he saw the Lord singing that song to me. So we went to the Bible promises. Is this my imagination, Lord? Or are you really showing me this? And he opened to the Holy Spirit twice in a row. So he told me, and as I listened to the song, I couldn't help but cry that Jesus would feel that way about me, especially after all my recent goof-ups. Still, I had a hard time accepting those lyrics. I felt so unworthy. So I told the Lord, Oh, how romantic you are. I guess I just can't relate to being so much more than beautiful. I just don't know what to think. Jesus replied immediately, Can you think that I would ever lie to you? Would I flatter you? Is there any such thing as duplicity in my heart? Would I manipulate you? No, but you do lead me with breadcrumbs in the dark and mysterious forest sometimes. Claire, that's only because I know how to speak to you, dearest. I know it gets your attention. Lord, I don't want to go back to my vomit. I really don't. He answered, Then don't. You are far beyond that in worth in my eyes. It doesn't suit you at all, Claire. Really, I mean that. You are way deeper than that. You just resort to those things when you're feeling low and a little lost. When you perceive the spiritual life to be too much for you, and you feel like you're failing, your eyes begin to wander to the familiar, and especially beauty and possessions. You've been up some very rough terrain lately, growing a little weary and feeling a little insecure. That's when you go back to the familiar to grasp a security. But those things are never enough. You think, if I could just have this, it is enough. But later you find out it's never enough, and something else calls to you. The demons bait you, knowing your likes and dislikes and the way you think. Oh, this is such a spiritual battle, and it's not as obvious as a black panther pulling you down into the water and drowning you, as your dream was. It is far more sinister. I say sinister because it's always done with your destruction in mind. It looks harmless and little, but behind it is a monster bent on destroying your soul and any good you could do for other souls. The minute a soul begins to bring change, good change towards me, drawing them to me. The enemy quickly begins assignments against them so they will not reach their full potential. But if their heart is for me, all it ever does is train them in warfare so they can train others. You look at many Christians as superstars because they walk in so much faith and are so public, but that is not my standard. Didn't you wonder about that reading I gave you the other day about visiting a church that's been doing a great deal of good? Now, that was really strange because I heard some wonderful things about this church and I heard people getting all kinds of blessings and deliverance from it. And when I asked the Lord if we should go there, maybe learn some of the things they were teaching, he gave me money. And that's always money in the world. It's not about making money and having money. It's about the world. And when I asked, I was shocked. And I thought to myself, oh, that couldn't be what he's talking about. He must be pinpointing something else in my life. But now that he's bringing it up and he's linking it to that, I'm thinking, wow, that just doesn't make sense, Lord. He continued, the closest you've ever gotten to what I consider holiness was with St. Francis. That was as pure as it comes. Everything, every form of what others call holiness degenerates from there. And St. Francis lived a life almost identical to St. Paul. So that's something that probably would help you relate to what he's saying. Francis came from a wealthy family and he was completely detached from the class system and from his family because he was head over heels in love with the Lord. Nothing mattered to him than taking care of the poor and the sick and spending hours and days in prayer and worship. Now, he would worship to the point where he would be lifted up above the treetops and the friars would come looking for him in the forest and they'd see him above the treetops conversing with the Lord. And it was beautiful. And so I answered the Lord, I don't want to judge or compare, Jesus. He continued, well, I want you to understand my ways and man's ways are light years apart. But you honor those people with miracles left and right to attest to their lives. Yes, I do, Claire. But I'm more concerned with the soul that is totally broken before me, and this is where you have been going. Truly, it is not about the miracles. Truly, it is about humility of heart and hearts that are one with me. And I suffer. And suffering is not taught in Christian circles. You are one of the few who truly addresses it and how important it is to me. There is so much missing in the churches today. So much. Did I not say to those who did miracles in my name, depart from me, I never knew you? But it seems to me, Lord, that many in that position have such a heart of gold for people. He replied, yes, like Heidi Baker. Indeed, she is one who has lost her life to gain me. But look how many criticize her in spite of her fruit. They do not know me. That is why they can't see her. I do not want you going around trying to discern who is with me and who isn't. That isn't my point. My point is that so much is done for show. And it's vain in my eyes. True holiness is hidden and lowly. Well, Lord, I've not hidden your gifts from me because I've asked you to share them. But you have hidden your holiness in the sense that you speak so much of your lack of qualifications. Not only is that true, but it's also good and healthy as an approach. That is something authentic you've learned, especially from Francis of Assisi. Yep, he was sure into that. If he broke a fast when the brothers were fasting by eating something that had lard in it or whatever, he would confess it to all of them so they wouldn't think more of him than what he truly was. The Lord continued, "Well, what I wanted to say to you is not to envy or exalt those who are in the public eye, and fame does not qualify one to be my friend and bride. Holiness of life does. It's not important for you to know who qualifies. That would lead you into sin. Rather, be content with your lowly station and protect it. Now about beauty, true spiritual beauty. My heart dwellers, did I not say, blessed are the poor in spirit? In fact, did I not say, every blessed was living contrary to the way the world thinks of blessed? The spiritual life, the true spiritual life, is in direct contrast to the world. And so when you come to belong to me, it is necessary for you to leave the worldly value system totally behind you. Even as it is written, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." That's Romans 6:3. "When you are baptized into my death, you come up looking so different from the world. That is not to say that only those who look poor are holy. Not at all. It is detachment of heart from personal desires and gain that frees you. Because I have called you to be my bride, I have also called you to exceptional littleness." Interesting. The Lord has been giving me these rhemas. When I open my browser, I have it set so that I'll get a rhema every time I open my browser. "My child, I know your poverty and physical weakness. Allow me to labor from within you, and you shall have all you need. And you are the least in the whole house. Always choose the last place. Keep this attitude of heart. Be faithful." Now, isn't that interesting? If I've gotten that once, I've gotten that at least 5 times in the last month. Seriously. I mean, that's outrageous. Is my browser stuck on that or what? But no, it's not, because I've been getting it from different sources. So I can't tell you how many times I've truly gotten it. You're the least in the whole house. And watching ministers on YouTube or Sid Ross has totally convinced me. I am the least in the whole house. Add that to the Lord chose me for this job because I was totally unsuitable. And any good that was done, he wanted all the credit for. Add those together, and that just closes the case. I know that even with music, I can do nothing without his touch. Lord, when I am in this place, I tend to devalue myself and find it very hard to accept your love and the tender things you say to me. Jesus continued, "It's a contradiction, Claire. The littler you are, the more beautiful you are to me. The less you think of yourself, the more attractive you are to me." As Mother Teresa once said, God likes little things best. I can feel something sick inside of me when I get around opulence. It's not a judgment on the people, but I know the demands this lifestyle puts on their time and freedom. Lifestyles tend to own people. You choose this job, and with it comes obligations and demands, endless demands on your time. Environments that feel sweet to me are little, poor environments. Not squalor, but simple lifestyles that don't put demands of conformity on all our time. Jesus continued, "And this is precisely why I want you to keep your life very, very simple. You've hit the nail on the head, even as it is written, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep." That's Ecclesiastes 5:12. "Claire, you are beautiful to me because your heart is dedicated to me. The fact that you fall occasionally is only a sign of your humanity. If you get up immediately and keep going, I do not want you to talk down to yourself. I want you to be comfortable with your littleness and know beyond a shadow of a doubt how precious you are to me. I want you to rest in my words when I sing, you are so much more than beautiful. I want you to receive this truth and not question or doubt me. Your littleness and dedication to me and so much more has made you more than beautiful. And when I sing, how can this be that you belong to me? I mean it with all my heart. Oh, my brides, when you depart from the world and break away, giving your life unconditionally for me, I do indeed shed tears of joy and sing, how can this be that you belong to me?